worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you.
Let's all stand. Let's sing 229. My God is real. G, key of G. My God is real. How about yours? Amen. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go. But I am sure of this one.
Made me whole. His His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Listen to this.
I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day,
yes, Lord,
yes, since that I, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power.
Sing it out to Him.
My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for He can wash and make me.
Praise the Lord Jesus. I trust that you feel the Lord. Amen. Do you believe that He's here? I believe that He's here because He promised, whether two or three gather in His name, there I would be in their midst. That's a promise. Amen. And we know that God can't break His promises, right? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Good to see all y'all smiling faces. Someone say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's just go, let's just bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, once again for the opportunity that we have to open back the pages of Your Word. We would ask You, Lord Jesus, that You would just have Your way here this evening, Lord. Help us, Father, to leave here edified and You glorified, Lord. And Father, we know that we've received strength through Your Word, Lord. Your Word is perfect, Father. There is no mistakes in it, Father. Contrary to what many may say or may think, Lord, that You change, Father, Your Word never changes, Lord. Father, you meant what You said, and You said what You meant, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord God, we just want to just open back these pages of this Word, Lord, and help us, Father, to not just be hearers but doers of Your Word, Lord. We ask that You'd meet every need amongst us, Father, because we know that You're more than able, Father. And we consider it already done. And we just ask that You just have Your way here the rest of the service. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 22 this evening. Psalms chapter 22. Appreciate that song, Sister Lily.
Amen.
Enjoyed that. I was looking over there at the, you know, I made that those calendars back in December. And I didn't know when Esther was going to get married. So so that's why Esther was on the calendar there. I was like, I looked at it, I was like, oh, you know, we're going to miss her. It won't be the same, but we're just trusting that she will she'll have a wonderful life from here on out.
Amen.
Amen. A new stage in life. Amen. Amen. A new era or a new time in her life. Amen. Psalms chapter 22. Let's start at verse 1. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded.
Amen.
But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Does that sound like a scripture you've read somewhere else? But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Last verse here. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this evening. Amen. Amen. I want to take a little topic tonight, and I want to call it, But I Am a Worm. And I'm taking it from verse 6. And I did a Sunday school lesson about this a couple of years ago, where I talked about Jesus being a worm. So we're kind of revisiting this, but there weren't a lot of people there at the time that are here tonight, and there's some new ones listening in. So I figure since being it is Easter time, we'll revisit this. But I want to take a look at different aspects of Psalms chapter 22. Because when we look at Psalms chapter 22 here, it correlates perfectly with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it was David, amen, it was Christ speaking through David, amen, when David was saying these things. Even at that time, at this time, from according to the history and the things that I looked at, there was no such thing as a crucifixion. As punishment of crucifixion at the time. That didn't come till years later. And the Romans were the ones who ended up perfecting that. Hence the reason why it was the Romans that crucified Jesus. And so we see here David speaking about him. And we know that David, he had a lot of problems in life. We know he was chased by his brother Absalom. His son Absalom. And he had different things. He was dethroned. And multiple things happened in his life. But never do we see in the history of the things that David went through where he was actually pierced in his hands or pierced through his feet. And the different things that he says here. And so we know that Brother Branham even said that David was actually a prophet. And so as he was speaking here, because we can see here that this, when we look at the beginning, it says, to the chief musician upon Adulath Shehar, a psalm of David. It was David, amen, speaking by inspiration. Whoever was writing this down, penning this down, was seeing something that was not even going to take place till years, hundreds of years later. And so we look at here, it starts with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know that this is exactly what Jesus said when he was upon the cross. And he said, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was actually quoting Psalms chapter 22. Amen. He might have been saying Psalms 22 in his head. Amen. But if you just take a look at this whole chapter, I mean, it speaks almost as more detailed about the crucifixion of Christ than even the Gospels do. So, amen. Because of the things that he was suffering. And yet you think that it was David. But we know David was having troubles, but it wasn't David. It was David, amen, experiencing or seeing someone, amen, that was experiencing this. And we know that it was Christ. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Amen. You can imagine Jesus Christ, amen. Everybody had forsaken him at that time. I mean, Judas forsook him. The disciples forsook him. Everybody had forsaken him. And so now he's probably in his mind, when Jesus is there dying upon the cross, he's probably thinking, also you, Lord, you forsaking me? You see, because we know that Jesus was God, but we know that he also was suffering as a human as well. As a son, to be an example for us, you see? And so, He's crying out and he's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he knew that the Lord was always with him. I mean, and he didn't do nothing unless the Father showed him first. So we knew that God was always with him. The Father was always with him. But here comes this instance where he's abandoning him. And it's because Jesus became sin for us. Amen. He wasn't a sinner. He became sin for us. Amen. And anything that is sinful. Amen. God can't look at sin. God can't see that. God can't see that. And therefore, that's one of the reasons why. Amen. He felt that as God was forsaking him, because he was taking your sin and my sin. Remember, as the song goes, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And so it takes us back to predestination. Amen. Because it was God. Amen. He foreknew you even before the foundation of the world. Right. Right. So he foreknew us. Amen. And even when he was dying on the cross. Amen. He was doing it not for himself. He was doing it for you and me. And the Bible says that for many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. And so he continues saying here, David continues saying here, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. Can you imagine, amen, getting to a point where God is not hearing you anymore? Where you were used to, at one point in time, God, you would pray, God would hear you. Amen. Lazarus, come forth. Amen. But here is an instance where Jesus, remember, this is Jesus fulfilling this. Jesus comes to a point where he was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why don't you hear me? And you know, sometimes we get to a point like that. David was in situations like that, you see, where it feels like the Lord's not hearing our prayers. It feels like those dry moments in our life. Like, where is God? Where is he? I've been serving him for 30, 40 years. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm nice to everybody. I smile. I shake. I don't fall asleep at church. I do everything that is, and I feel like God is not hearing me. If it happened to Jesus, how much more us? You see? But see, God has a reason why he allows those things for in our lives. Amen? Because he knows he can get something better out of that. Amen. Again, as I know, I've been saying it lately a lot. God cannot come right as sometimes he might. Sometimes he will. But not every time you call on to him that he has to do it right there and then. Amen. Because we don't learn patience that way. We don't learn how to wait. And we don't learn, amen, to trust in him. To trust in his word. Oh, it's hard. Don't you think it was hard for Jesus? Don't you think it was hard for David when he was, whatever he was expressing here, whatever was going on in his life? Some say that this was during the time when maybe Absalom was chasing him. I don't know. But obviously we know that David went through some difficult times in his life where he felt like God was not hearing him. And how much more us? It feels like God, but he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. So if he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us, then that means he is listening to your prayer. He just wants to answer it in his time. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Verse 3, but thou art holy. Oh, that thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen. So even though God was not hearing David, amen, he still goes ahead and worships him. You inhabit the praises, Lord Jesus. Oh, I may not have it right now. I may not get it right at this very moment. But Lord, I praise you anyhow. Lord, you inhabit my praises. You deserve all my praise and all my glory. Amen. In your time, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. Verse 4. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. He's bringing now David speaking about the things that God had done for them in the past. And were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Amen. You will not be confounded when you put your whole trust in the Lord. Amen. Because he won't ever let you down. Young people, he won't ever let you down. Amen. When you get to a point in life, amen, where it's confusion. And I know some of you are in ages where it's confusing. Where should I do? What should I believe? What should I? Amen. Stay with what you know, what you have learned already. Stay with that. And maybe you may not understand it fully, but stay with it. And eventually it will come to fruition. Right? Keep adding more water on top of that. And what is water? Water is the word. Keep adding more word to that word that you already heard. That rhymes almost. But keep adding more word to that word that you already heard. And eventually that word is going to bring something. Amen. A reality, a true experience in your life. Amen. Oh, I know it's confusing. Yeah, I was 13 at one time. I was 14. I was 15. I was 16. Right? It's confusing. It's times of confusion. I understand. Many changes and different things taking place. But God promised, amen, that he would lead us and guide us unto all truth. Just stay with what you already have. Amen. Stay with what you already have. And just move on with that. And then let God, just keep feeding that. And let God, amen, that will continue to grow. It's just like a tree. Amen. A tree ain't going to grow any other way unless you give it water and sunlight. Give it water and sunlight. Give it word and church. Word and church. Word and church. Eventually you will grow. Eventually you will get to a point. Amen? Word on top of word. And I always say, you know, that you know, we all need showers, right? We all need to take a shower, right? So when you take a shower, I hope that you use soap. Because, you know, you could take a shower with just water, and really, you don't really come out really that clean. You still come out greasy. Right? I'm just being honest. You need to have some soap. Some lathering up. I always say that soap is kind of like the fivefold ministry. Amen? Kind of scrub you down a little bit, but you still need that water in there to go ahead and wash that out, right? And the soap won't work unless there's water. The soap won't work unless there's word there. Right? So it's not the soap that does it. Just the soap. It needs the water as well. In order to get fully clean, right? I like that. I like using that analogy. Amen. So we need a fivefold ministry. Amen. And we need the word. Amen. And they both work together to help you get to a point where you need to get. To perfect the bride. Amen. To perfect his people. To clean you up. Amen. That's a good shower right there. Man, when I'm in Nicaragua or Honduras, amen, and I, you know, it's sweaty, it's hot in those places. I got to have me some soap. Ain't that right, Nyla? I got to have me some soap. I got to have me some shampoo. Right? That's when you feel clean. All right. Let's get back to this. Got you all smiling there for a moment. So David continues here. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. Verse 5. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Now this is where I want to get to. Amen. To verse 6. And he says here something very strange. And remember, this is David. This is Christ speaking through David. Right? And he says here, he says, but I am a worm. And no man. What is he talking about? Amen? But I am a worm. You know, why didn't he say, we know that a worm is the lowest, is one of the lowest little creatures that you could possibly, you know, a little earthworm, right? You see them probably on the side of the road dead sometimes after a rain, you know, they harden up and stuff and it's nasty. But it's the lowest of the lowest. But why did God, why did David not say there, I, you know, but I am a roach? I mean, the roaches are just as nasty. I mean, I don't like roaches. Or I am something else. I am this. But he said here, I am a worm. Now, when he says this here, he's not speaking about a worm like you and me think a worm is. Right? So this is where I want to get it. If the brothers could bring up my thing here, my connection. I got some slides here I want to show. Maybe we can try again. All right. Let me try this one here.
It's not showing.
How about this right here? All right, something's coming up. All right. Okay. Can you see that all right? Okay. All right. So in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, we see there that this is when Jesus was dying. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so we're there at verse 6. Now, Brother Branham says this. He says this. And look, the scripture had said that was going to happen exactly word by word, the way it was. Even David, hundreds of years before that, about 800 years, cried the very same thing that he said on the cross. All right. And no doubt that in the temple that morning, think about this right here. No doubt that in the temple that morning, they might have sang that same song. Psalms chapter 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the temple, singing about it, and the God that they claimed they served, they were crucifying. Think about that. If you can be doing, a service for God and thinking that you are, you know, just doing what you're supposed to do, and in reality, it not be the will of God. Right, remember, Brother Branham said, doing God a service without it being His will. We can be so busy for God sometimes, and then it not really be His will. Amen. So we see that this scripture is talking about Christ, and so that's the question we were asking: why does He call Himself a worm? Amen. Now, in Job chapter 25, verse 3, it says this: is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not His light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in His sight. What He says here, how much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. So they're referring to that worm here. And it's interesting that it's also verse 6 as well, just like verse 6 in Psalms chapter 22. Now, the word scarlet is used several times in the scriptures. Amen. For example, we know about the scarlet thread that Rahab brought down when the children of Israel were to take the Jericho. And so that speaks of scarlet. And so whenever you look at that word scarlet in the Hebrew lexicon, the word crimson, right, which means red, it's the word shani, which means this scarlet crimson. Properly, it says properly the insect Coccus elicis, which is the dried body of the female yielding coloring matter from which is made the dye used for cloth to color crimson, scarlet, or crimson. All right. So it's referring to a worm, an animal. That word, whenever you see it, the meaning of the word scarlet goes hand in hand with the meaning of the word crimson in the Hebrew lexicon. And you see this here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, which says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God, amen, that our sins, that they're not just covered. They're washed. They're done away with. If you've truly repented of your sins, if you've truly asked God to forgive me, He just doesn't put a covering over it. Because when there's a covering over something, if I put a covering over this pulpit, that doesn't mean the pulpit is not there anymore. The pulpit is still there. It's just under a covering. Right? But when God, amen, takes care of your sins, He eradicates them completely. Amen. So that's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that it's the literal blood wouldn't be able to do anything for you. Right? But we know it's the spirit behind under the blood. Amen. That's what does the power. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham said that you can have the blood of Jesus Christ, a gallon of blood here, and just pour it all over you of the literal blood of Jesus Christ. And as reverently and as we would try to make sure it won't spill, but you could go ahead and pour that on you and it wouldn't do anything for you.
Amen.
It's the spirit, amen, behind under that blood.
Amen.
That covers, that not just covers, but takes away your sin.
Amen.
Eradicates your sin. So that word there, scarlet, in Isaiah is the word tola. And watch what this word means. It means worm, scarlet stuff, crimson worm. It goes back and it says the female Coccus illicis. Scarlet stuff, crimson scarlet, the dye made from the dried body of the female of the worm Coccus illicis. A worm, maggot, worm, grub, the worm Coccus illicis. So that's very interesting that is the same word that is referring back to Psalms chapter 22, verse 6, where David says, "I am a worm." But we know that it was Christ speaking through David, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. And so this word tola is the same word used for the word worm in Exodus chapter 16, when they were talking about that if they left the manna out, you know, too long, it bred worms. Is the same word there, tola. It made it stink. So the general Hebrew word in the Bible for worm is rima, which means a maggot or a common worm. But the word that was used in Psalms chapter 22 to describe Jesus was tola or tola'ath, which is the same word in Hebrew for the word crimson or scarlet. Amen. Trying to go a little quicker here. So are you all following me? All right. So this is very interesting because a couple of years ago when I was looking into this, I was looking actually at the token. And then I got into looking into it, and then I got into reading this, and then I started looking into that. Why is it that he says I'm a worm? And got to look into it, and here we are. But I believe, saints, that God doesn't put things in the Word just to put them there. And if you truly believe that the Word of God is inspired by God, then they're there for a purpose. They have a purpose. And as I said, God said what He said, and He meant what He said. Right? They're there for a reason. It's just up to you and me, amen, to take and dig into them and see what He meant. Right? Praise the Lord. Because it's all beneficial for us. It's all beneficial for us. So, and looking at this worm, it's interesting. I know you probably, some of you can't read that text there, but I'll just read it for you. The dried bodies of the females of a scale insect, or the Coccus illicis, allied to the cochineal insect and found on several species of oak near the Mediterranean and old Israel. So this worm that David is referring to here is found in Israel in those Mediterranean areas. In ancient days, the dead bodies of the female crimson worms were scraped from the tree, and I'm going to show you some pictures here in just a moment, dried and then ground into a powder that was used to dye their cloth and garments as scarlet or red color. They're about the size of a little pea. That's how big these are. And when the crushed worm was also used to make medicine that helps the heart beat smoothly. Think about that. Very interesting. And then later on, we're going to see that their bodies turn into a white wax that's used to make shellac, which is a preservative of wood. So there's the picture right there of that worm right there, the Coccus illicis, or the scarlet worm, in other words. Now, some of these, they're a little older, but you can see they're not 4K or HD. All right. This right here, this is an older picture. From the Temple Institute there in Israel. They were showing a demonstration of this little worm, and he's going to show. He's got boiled water here, and he takes one little worm like that, one of those little pea-sized worms, and he dissolves it inside the. And you see how red it's turning. Amen. All right? Now remember, what represents red? Crimson. The blood.
Yes, amen.
Right? And you see, and that's just one little worm that does that right there.
Yeah.
And they would use that. This is an example of some thread that they've dyed with that. With that worm, you can go on YouTube right now and you can search videos of people actually dyeing using this little worm and dyeing threads and things with the dye of this little worm. This was the same dye that the priests used to use to dye their garments in the Old Testament, and also the coverings that were used for the tabernacle as well. So. And this is right here. This is they're going out and gathering the little worm out there, and they're taking it, and it latches onto the tree. So it kind of looks like it's part of the tree, but that actually has a representation.
Amen.
And so this is what it looks like right now. Those right there, those actually have eggs under them, and so. They're babies under there, and so they form this hard shell, and so this is right here. This is when after they have ripped them off the tree, and you can see those are eggs inside. And there's a little closer shot of them. Now they take these, this right here, they crush them, and then they color dye. They use it for coloring.
Amen.
All right, so. What does all this talking about worms have to do with Jesus and Easter? All right. He says here, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised of the people.
Yep.
Amen. Many people we know despise Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
Many people despise Jesus Christ today.
Right.
You know, they don't even want to hear his name.
Nope.
On TV. And I've watched little clips of newscasts where compilations of newscasts like Fox News and CNN and different things, and there's somebody there talking about Jesus and how where they're thanking Jesus for this, that, or the other, and as soon as they cut the feet off, multiple times it's happened. They cut the feet off. You can't tell me that's a coincidence. They don't want to hear the word Jesus. They don't want Christianity to be propagated. They do anything to stop it.
Amen.
And so I think lately I haven't looked too much into it, but in Israel they're saying that they don't even want people to preach Jesus there in Israel. So I don't know how where that's going to go, but we just know that the world is heading to a place where they don't even want to hear. They don't want to hear anything that you have to say about God.
Amen.
Anything about God? No. But there's a people that's going to be faithful.
Amen.
No matter what the word, world or how the world goes, there is a people that's going to stay faithful to the word.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of this gospel.
Amen.
You don't need to be ashamed of the word. You don't need to be ashamed of the gospel, amen. If this gospel, amen, will cause me to go to my death, well, so be it. My Lord did it for me, amen. Why couldn't I do it for him? Praise the Lord. Amen. If it causes me to suffer persecution, well, so be it. It's worth it. Much more worth it than living in this world, in this present condition. So to many people, Jesus was irrelevant at that time. You know, Isaiah said that he had no beauty in him that we should desire. There was nothing beautiful about Jesus. Amen. He even looked older than what he was. Amen. And so that's why David, amen, he says, I am a worm. Jesus speaking, I am a worm.
Amen.
You know, you could go by walking by these trees there in Israel, and you would probably notice that there was a worm there on that tree. Or a little grub. Something insignificant. But yet it has so much power. Because one little worm, amen, can do a lot. It could dye the garments of the priests. If people just realize how much power is in the word, amen, in the Lord. All right, let's go a little quicker. So, just real quick, amen. And I'll just kind of paraphrase this. When this worm, it comes time for her to have babies. What she does is she goes and attaches herself to this tree. To a tree and make sure that she cannot be moved.
Amen.
She attaches herself to that tree.
Amen.
This is according to the things I've read. So I've kind of put it here a little bit, some of it. She attaches herself to the tree and she has her babies. She lays the eggs. And so when she lays the eggs, she puts on this covering, this hard covering or this hard shell around herself. That's why we saw it and it looked hard and kind of white looking. That's the shell. It's a protection. And so when the babies hatch and the eggs hatch, they need to eat something, right? So according to what I was reading, they actually eat off this grub. This worm, because there's nowhere else for it. She can't go and get food for them, and they have no way to eat. They have to eat, so they start eating off the mom.
Amen.
Think about where that is.
Amen.
Amen. We feed off the body word.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Right? I am the true bread that comes out of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And we get fed. Amen. What feeds me is the word.
Amen.
I can't really fully get fed off of anything else. Amen. What truly feeds me, amen, my real me is the Word of God. Other things are interesting. Other things are nice. Amen. But what truly feeds the true Christian or the true believer is the Word of God. Amen. We have nowhere else to go. Peter said, where else can I go? You are the only one that has the words of eternal life. We are here under this shell of protection. Amen. Where else can we do? And so these babies are there eating and they feed off the body word of their mom.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord,
amen.
Jesus. And so as they're feeding, amen, and they get to a point, the mom knows that they're growing, so she has to let them go. Right before she lets them go, she immediately covers them with this crimson goo. And this crimson goo, it's in order to protect them. Amen. It's the crimson goo that protects us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. She protects them with this crimson dye. And that dye gets all over the tree and everything. And I'll show you pictures here in just a moment of what that looks like. But it's all over, and that's when she dies. And the little worms or the sons or the daughters and the daughters, amen, they have a new life ready to move on, right? All right, so here's the little tree. There's the worm getting attached itself. Once on the tree, the crimson worm then attaches itself to the tree. It makes sure it's secure because the body of the worm will eventually be the shelter for the young which are born. It is so strongly and permanently stuck to the wood that the shell cannot be removed without tearing its bodies completely apart and killing it. Her body turns into a shell for protection of her babies. It was not the nails that held our Savior to the cross. It was love. When the baby worms or larvae hatch, they stay under the shell. Not only does the mother's body give protection for the babies, but it also provides them with food. The babies feed on the living body of the mother.
Amen.
All right, so that's a picture I showed you all ago. That those are the eggs that were inside. That's the shell right there under the mother. All right. Matthew 26, 26, 27 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Right? Hence the reason, saints, that I want you to look, we're going to take communion this Sunday. The importance of communion to a believer is so great. Right? Partaking of communion, because it's commemorating, amen, what Jesus told us to do. Right? It's not a suggestion. Jesus says, "I suggest that you eat my body, you know, and take, eat my bread and drink my blood." No, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this. Whenever you do it in remembrance of me." Right? And in John 6, 53, 57 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Amen. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Amen. Now we know that Jesus is speaking there spiritually, right? Amen. Eating off him is eating the word. Amen. Right? We don't literally eat the body and the flesh of Jesus Christ or drink his blood. Because we're not vampires. And the Catholics, amen, they believe in transubstantiation. Where they literally believe that the wafer that I used to take when I was in the Catholic Church. My wife's taken it. I know Sister Anna Kennard, she's been there. They literally believe that that round wafer turns into the literal body of Jesus Christ. And then when you're drinking the wine, you're drinking the literal blood of Jesus Christ. But we know that's not scriptural. And we know that's not what Jesus was talking about. So when we take communion, it's representations of his body, representations of his blood, right? Praise the Lord. "After just a few days of feeding on the living body of the mother, the young worms grow and the mother dies. It then secretes them," so secretes that crimson blood. Matthew 26, 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Romans 5, 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Praise the Lord. What does that look like? That is right there. That's when the mother has completely killed herself. But in killing herself or in dying, she's covering her little young. And it's so much crimson that falls out that it stains the tree. Amen. Don't it look like that? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the blood-stained cross. Amen. Thank God for that, what he did for us. Amen. There's another one of the stains there. And I believe that on the right is the little babies ready to do their part. Right? But they're covered and they're stained with the mother's, with their mother's crimson wax. Crimson. Amen. Amen. The Christian, amen, can't go without the blood of Jesus Christ. Christianity isn't Christianity if there's no blood. Amen. I mean, it was like that at the beginning in Genesis. There had to be bloodshed in order to cover Adam and Eve. Amen. And there has to be blood, even amen, to cover you in this hour. Thank God that he did it once and for all. He doesn't have to constantly die for you and me. He did it once and that's enough. Amen. And it's up to you if you go to him for that, for forgiveness of your sins. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we see that this is they use this to for the priest's garments and also the tabernacle. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights on the whole belly, so shall the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So this is very interesting right here. "On the morning of the fourth day, the worm has pulled the head and tail together and is now in the shape of a heart on the tree. But it is no longer crimson. It is now a wax, which is white as snow. They can still harvest the wax and use it to make shellac, a preservative of wood. The resurrection of Jesus Christ serves as a preservative of the message of the cross." Amen. We know that without the resurrection, there is no. And so there's the white right there. That's after 3 days. after it has turned red, or she releases this red, this redness turns into this white wax, which we know what happened on the resurrection day, on the third day, right? The eighth day, new beginning. Remember what Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Right? Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 22, amen. I am a worm and no man. Does that make a little bit more sense to you? I am a worm. It's not just saying that I am, it's there for a reason. Praise the Lord Jesus. And there's the whiteness there of the, and they use that and they take that and use it for wax. Amen. Psalms 22:14, David continues saying here, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. Look what he says here. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. I don't think that was there for just to be there. And then in the previous verses, he talks about, I am a worm. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, that's the word shani, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, that's the word tola, they shall be as wool. So the two words are in the same verse. Praise the Lord. Also, the crimson worm is a very fragrant when it's crushed. They say that there's an odor that comes up when they crush it. And you can go to YouTube and you can actually see people crushing the little worm and making dye out of this little worm. Ephesians 5:1 tells us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Amen. Praise the Lord. The crushed worm was also used for medicine to help the heart beat smoothly. Amen. Amen. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. So, in a sense, that's another reason Jesus became a worm, to be kind of a bait. Amen. Kind of a bait. In order to do full redemption. Amen. I like this. God needed to sink his teeth of anger into something. His appetite of holy wrath needed to be fed, but Jesus didn't want him to feed on us. Amen. You know, we deserved hell. We deserved punishment. We, each and every one of us, deserve what Jesus suffered on the cross and more. But I'm so thankful that he took it for us. Amen. And so when we're looking at Easter coming up, amen, just think about, amen, just think about the things he suffered for us, amen, and how I should have been in that place. And I was on his mind, amen, the whole time he was on that tree. The whole time he was on that cross. God has a purpose with all scripture. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. All scripture. And I think this is the last. I want you to read with me Psalms 22:31. Well, I have it right here. It's the last verse there of this chapter. And it's interesting because just go home. This is your homework. Go home and read the whole chapter. And there's other things there that you'll see that it's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. But look what it says in the last verse, in verse 31. It says there, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. Amen. That he hath done this. Amen. Let's read I'm going to read the previous verse. Let me see here. 22. Psalms 20. Okay. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Amen. So speaking of the future. Right? They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. A new birth. That he hath done this. And when you look at that word that there, or that phrase, that he hath done this, when you read it in the original Hebrew, we're almost done. But when you read it in the original Hebrew, it's only one word. And it's the word asal, which means finished, complete. And what did Jesus say there on the cross? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen? It's complete, saints. There is no excuse for you to carry your sin this afternoon. It is done. It's already done, as the song says. We can be free from our condemnation. We can be free from the guilt of sin, because he's already taken it on the cross of Calvary for you. He became a worm so that you don't become it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I hope you loved. I hope you learned something from there and take that with you. You can look at it through it yourself and study it out. But let's just think about these things as Easter's getting ready to come up, and let's just stand to our feet. We're finishing up nice and early. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads as the musicians come. I want to sing that song, Key of G. The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. I had the song here. Uh, 319. Let's just bow our heads. If anybody has a need of prayer, we're more than glad to pray with you. Amen. But you ask the Lord there where you're at. God is more than able. Amen. If tonight anybody needs salvation or doesn't even know if they have the Holy Ghost or not, or needs, you know, direction in their life in this matter, amen. We're more than glad to talk with you. We're here to minister to you. Brother Dale, Brother Wade, the ministers here, we're here to minister to you. We want you to be saved. We want you to receive the Holy Spirit. We want you to receive the benefits of God. Amen. So if tonight you need that and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, amen, you can pray right there and God will save you right there and then. If you mean it there in your heart. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity that we have to open back the pages of your word. Lord, we appreciate you, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you put things in the word, Father, and not just to fill blank space, Lord, but it's there, Father, for a reason. And we just thank God that we have a full word in this hour, a sure word, a word, Father, that Brother Branham considered it as his absolute, Father, and we consider it as our absolute, Lord Jesus. Father God, because it cannot let us down, Lord, because it is a sure word. And we just help us, Father, to just apply this word to our lives and be more like you, Lord, as we feed off the word, Lord Jesus. We're feeding off the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just be with us, Father, as we're getting ready to leave this place, Lord, but never your presence, Lord God. You be with us, Lord, and direct us the rest of this week, Father. And we just commit the rest of this time into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, the chorus. Yeah.
It reaches the highest mountain.
The chorus. For it reaches the highest. I lost the page number here. 319. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from death.
will never lose its power.
Sing it again.
For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, yes, the blood that gives me strength from
Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, I don't know, Sister Joyce, key of C, Greater Than All My Sins.
Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Once again.
Greater than all my sins is the blood that still cleanses me. Is the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood? Praise the Lord. The blood won't lose its power. Praise God. Amen. We just appreciate everybody being back. I meant to say that at the beginning of the service. Praise the Lord. And so we certainly missed everybody. And we have a few announcements here. Remember, Saturday from 5 to 6 is going to be the prayer meeting. I think Brother Wade wants to have it before this particular time. And so the doors are going to open at 5. So you can come and pray at 5, and it'll be till 6. And then from 6 to 8 will be the Bible study. So remember those things. Come and learn from Him. Amen. Learn from the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And come with your questions too. Praise the Lord. Also, real quick, I wanted to thank you all for the money that first of all, the church, Brother Dale, And they gave, they wanted to give for the need that I presented last time, Brother Robert there in Honduras. And I believe some of you all may have given some as well. And so I wanted to thank each and every one of you all for meeting that need for the brother, because it wasn't just the 3,000 that I asked that was given. It was the whole 6,000 that the brother was originally given. It's just hard for me to get up here and say $6,000. So that's why I said half, and then maybe Lord will provide the rest somehow. But I just appreciate you all opening your hearts. And Brother Dale, thank you very much. I told Brother Robert there in Honduras that the money, the full money, they actually already started doing the work with the little funds that they have already. So and that's what I told him. I said, Brother Robert, just go ahead and start doing what you can do with what you have. And so that you'll be able to get ahead of, you know, the meetings that they're going to have and the different events that they're guaranteed to have. And then the Lord will provide somehow or another. Let's see. And so he's very appreciative. He sent me this 11-minute long audio, which is many of the ones that I get from Central America, that he was just so thankful to you all, and first of all, thankful to God, and thankful to Brother Dale. He told me to give Brother Dale special thanks, and that he wants to. I requested from him to give like a little video. He's going to send pictures and video as the project progresses, and also a video of himself speaking, so that maybe show it here at some point in time, so that you can hear his voice as well. So he's really appreciative to that. And also that request, remember that I had mentioned that he was being, this brother that was being, was threatening his life. In that voicemail he left me, he told me that that brother has actually come back to the church and actually asked him and the whole church for forgiveness. For what? So the Lord... The brother told me, Brother Robert said, Brother Luis, you don't understand how wonderful it is to be able to go out in public now and not think that somebody, my life is threatened, you know, and I don't need to go with bodyguard or somebody, you know. Couldn't even take his wife out much, because it was just a devil on the brother. But seems like the brother, the Lord is working. So we appreciate it. Just continue to pray for that situation. And so all hearts and minds clear. Amen. So let's just go. Let's just sing that again, and then you may be dismissed. Greater than all my sin. You may be dismissed with this.
Greater than.